famous Reb Chaim Vital that I think Reb Miller actually mentioned over Shabbos. It's brought down in a lot of the Musar Svarim and Machshava Svarim. I'll read it here, I'll quote it from the Siva Shalom, but I've seen it also in the Alei Shor. And the Gron Evan Shlema says a very similar idea. Reb Chaim Vital writes like this in the beginning of Shari Kedusha. She'ein hamidos michlal taryag hamitzvos. If you look through taryag mitzvos, you're not going to find anywhere. You have to be an anav. You have to be, a patient person. You have to be a kind person. Those things are not going to be in the taryag mitzvos. Ki hen achanos ikarios al taryag hamitzvos bikiyumam o bebitulam. Because these things are essential prerequisites to the taryag mitzvos. Lefichach inin hamidos haraos. Right, that says Reb Chaim Vital, bad midos are worse than averos, not a little bit worse than averos, me'od me'od. We don't see that kind of lashon so often. So they're not counted in tarek mitzvos because they are prerequisites. Person has to be more careful when it comes to bad midos, then he has to be when it comes to kiyum ha-mitzvos. That's a very powerful statement. The Gra, I didn't bring it, but he says something like, if a person is not going to be misakin his midos, lama lo chayim. What's the point of anything? And this sentiment is echoed in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hukos Tshuva in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, don't say that a person only has to do tshuvas from averos that have actions. All these things are things that a person has to do tshuva for. These are midos. These are not averos. The Rambam says these are things that we need to do tshuva for. It's very interesting. The Siva Shalom writes over here in the chapter about Taras and Midos. So he points out the famous Rashi, the first Rashi of the Torah. Rashi asks, why does the Torah start with Maisa Bereishis? Why doesn't the Torah just start with the first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? So Rashi points out that we don't want the Umos HaOlam to come along and say that you stole Eretz Yisrael from us. So Hashem, first in the Torah, writes about Maisa Bereishis. That way everybody knows who the world really belongs to. And then when the time comes and we take Eretz Yisrael, nobody will have a tie now because they'll know that just like Hashem created it and gave it to them in the first place. So now He took it away from them and He gave it to us. So if that's the pshat, the question begs itself. So start with Maisa Bereishis, and then after Maisa Bereishis, go to HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem. There's a lot of things that happen between. What do we need all those things for? So the Nesiv HaShalom writes that over here what we have, like the Nesiv says, like others say, that Sefer Bereishis is called the Sefer HaYashar. Because we have here, and it's not only Sefer Bereishis, but this idea extends all the way up until the first mitzvah, that the whole Torah up until that point is really discussing Midos Ra'os and Midos Tovos. That the root, the Nesiv HaShalom says, of Midos Ra'os is what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Hakina Hataiva Vakavod Motzin Es Ha'Adam Min Ha'Olam. That's what the Nesiv HaShalom says is the root of all the Midos Ra'os. And that's what we see in the beginning of the Torah. We have Kina, that Cain is jealous of Hevel's Korban, that Hashem received, accepted Hevel's Korban, not his, so He kills him. That's the Kina. And then we have the Dor HaMabul of Taiva, Ki Yishchis Kol Basar Estarko Ala Aretz. That was the Midah of Taiva that destroyed the world. And then we had the Dor Haflaga, which was the Midah of Kavod, that they wanted to make a tower all the way up, like to be like Hashem Himself, to be as high as Hashem. And that's Hakina Taiva VaKavod Motzi Mesa Adam Min HaOlam. And that's the beginning of the history of the world, is really this idea of Hashchasas HaMidos, of terrible Midos. And then from then on, we have the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then the Shvatim, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's all the Tikkun HaMidos, says the Nesiv HaShalom. We need all of those things for the Tikkun HaMidos. And the Nesiv HaShalom says, that's the pshat in the first Rashi, that it's the schus of Tikkun HaMidos, of Midos Tovos, that's really the schus that we have Eretz Yisrael, in that schus. And it's not only Eretz Yisrael, we know the whole Torah is also we only received the Torah after we worked on our Bidos. There is 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer, famous that's a hachana for Kabbalah HaTorah, and there's Mem Ches Kinyanim of Kinyanei Torah. A lot of things have to do with Midos. So those 49 days are connected to Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah, and then a whole bunch of different ideas of what the last day is for, and one day that you have to chazer them all over, and one day that you have to put all 48 into practice on the 49th day. But also Kabbalah HaTorah was something that was totally on hachana of Tikkun HaMidos. So I just want to talk about tonight, with that hagdama, a specific midah. That midah is sensitivity. To be sensitive to other people. It's Rabbi Miller mentioned on Shabbos that he doesn't want to give musar because everybody's doing so well, it's chizuk. So this is chizuk and musar. Meaning we're doing well, but we could do better. And this is the Torah Shrag, guys have heard from me a few times already, maybe, but it's kedai to say over. I heard this from Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss said once up chat, how do we really understand what about Haftel Recha Kamotah is all about? So he said there is a Shita Mekubetas in Meseches Menachos that has the following story about Shlomo HaMelech. At Shlomo HaMelech, he was sitting in his court, and two brothers had a machlokas how to divide up a Yerusha, and they came to Shlomo HaMelech that he should paskin the case. So one brother said, listen, two-headed brother, I have two heads, he has one head, I'm like two people, so I deserve two-thirds of the Yerusha. And the other brother says, listen, I have one body, he has one body, we should each get half of the Yerusha. So someone else said, okay, you know, I hear it. Two heads, one body, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do. So he said, how are we going to decide if the two-headed person is one person or two people? So he did like this. He said, we're going to take a bag, we're going to put it over one of the heads of the two-headed person, and then we're going to take hot water and we're going to pour it over the other head. And if the head that's covered up screams out when we pour the water over the exposed head, then that means that they feel each other's pain. And if they feel each other's pain, then they're one person. But if he doesn't scream out when we pour the hot water over the other head, that means that they don't feel each other's pain. And if you don't feel the other person's pain, then you can't be one person. Then you're two people. I don't know if he felt the pain. But that's what Rav Asher Weiss said. That's the yesod in Vahaftarecha Kamocha. And I thought it was very interesting. It fits in very nicely to the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Pasuk says, "Daber al kol adas bnei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeicha." So Rav Simon and Emre Baruch, he brings some of the mefarshim. We ask Akasha over here. "Daber al kol adas bnei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu." Why does it have to be "Daber al kol adas bnei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu"? "Daber al bnei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu." Why is this a mitzvah that needs to be "b'fnei kol adas bnei Yisrael"? So we all know the famous Ramban over here by kedoshim tiyu that a person shouldn't be a novel b'rishus haTorah. You shouldn't, let's say, the Torah doesn't say how much I can eat. You know, as long as I'm eating kosher food, there's really no limit. But a person shouldn't, you know, indulge, overeat, because that's considered to be disgusting. It's considered to be bad midos, if you will. So I thought here you could say a very plush-up chat, what I think, based on this idea from Rav Asher Weiss. "Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu." If you're in a situation of kol adas b'nei Yisrael, where everybody's together, you have a sense of achdus, so then a natural consequence, a natural result of that is going to be kedoshim tiyu. Meaning, when there's achdus and when there's a sense of v'haftel recha kamocha, that each person is able to feel the other person's pain, then how can I indulge? If I know that my neighbor can't afford food for Shabbos, so how can I be a novel b'rishus haTorah? How can I indulge? How can I be a glutton right across the street when I'm sensitive to his plight on the other side? And that's the pshat over here. When everybody's together and you have a sense of achdus and you have a sense of v'haftel recha kamocha, so then, v'amarta aleihem kedoshim tiyu, then there's going to be a kedoshim tiyu. So, I thought I'm just going to, a couple of stories that I heard from a few different people, mostly from Nissen Kaplan. But before that, a hagdama. The famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara says that the goy who wanted to convert, he came to Shammai and he said to him, "Teach me kol haTorah kula while I stand in front of you all regel achas." So, you know, he pushed him away, Bamasa Binyan, the Gemara says. And then he came to Hillel and he said, teach me the whole Torah, and Gaireni, convert me, Amanasta, you'll teach me the whole Torah, Aregel Achas. And Hillel says to him, famous, the Sunni Alach, Lechavrach Lo Savid, Vidav Perusha Zilgumar. What's hated by you, what you don't like, don't do to other people. And the rest is all Mefarshim, go and learn it. This all is all commentary, go and learn it. So the Mefarshim will ask, why doesn't Hillel just say to him, V'haftarecha Kamocha? Why does he say, the Sunni Alach, Lechavrach Lo Savid? So there's a lot of different answers, but I was thinking about this today. I think one Pashut answer could be that in Avoda, in general, the approach is usually first you work on the Sor Meira, like we've seen in Mesilas Yesharim, we start with Zahiris, and then we go to Zahiris, then we go to the Asei Tov. So this is a guy. He's starting now the beginning of the Avoda. He wants to become a Ger. So Hillel tells him, first, the Sunni Alach Lechavrach Lo Savid. First, what you don't like to have done to you, don't do that to other people, Sor Meira. And then, later on, Zil Gomor, he'll eventually get to the Pasuk of V'Avta L'Recha Kamocha, which is positive, which is the Asei Tov, and that'll get to later. So that's just the way we're going to organize over here the stories. First, a few stories of Sor Meira, and then a few stories of Asei Tov. So I heard from Rav Nissen Kaplan, very nice story about Rav Baruch Ber. Two nice stories about Rav Baruch Ber. Both of them, Bechina, what we'll call for now Sor Meira. That Rav Baruch Ber had a Shita in Kamenitz, if somebody came to him, so you can come to him and get Smicha, which is a very chashuv thing, obviously, you get smicha from Rav Baruch Ber. But anybody wanted to come get smicha, you had to sit and learn by him for 2 months. Unless you sat and learned by 2 months, you could be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the city. You're not going to get smicha from Baruch Ber unless you're there for 2 months. So, Maisa Shahaya there of Scheinberg, Shlita, went to get smicha from Rav Baruch Ber, and he traveled from, I don't know where it was, but it was a long distance. And he was there for a month, and at the end of the month, he wanted, he didn't know about the rules, so he made plans to be there for a month. He was there for a month, and he went afterwards to go to Rav Baruch Ber for Bechina to get a smicha. Now, this is a rule. Like, he doesn't violate this rule. So he went to Rav Baruch Ber, and he told him, I have to go home to get a smicha. So he gave him Bechina, and he gave him smicha, and he went home. And the Talmidim afterwards asked him, what's the pshat? This is the rule. This is against the rule. He never gives smicha for less than 2 months. So Baruch Ber said, he's like, this Rav Scheinberg, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he didn't know the rule, and he came, he made plans for a month. And he traveled a long way, and he's traveling now a long way home, and as soon as he gets home, he's going to open the door, and what did he come here for? He came for the smicha. He didn't come to, learn all Shas and Poskim in a month. He knew it already. He came for the smicha. So he's going to get home, he's going to open the door, and his wife is going to say to him, did you get the smicha from Rav Baruch Ber? And if I don't give him the smicha, so he's going to have to say, no, but, and then he'll explain that if he goes back for another month, he'll be able to get it because of the policy. But there's going to be 1 second where he says, no, but, where his wife is going to hear that he went and he spent a month and he didn't get the smicha. And she's going to be so upset, even just for that one brief moment. And Rav Baruch Ber said, to be mitzayer, the wife of a Talmud Chacham, like that, even for a brief moment, so I'll overlook the rule. I'll bypass the rule. Like, he couldn't even imagine for that one moment that he's going to be mitzayer, the wife of the Talmud Chacham. That was one story. Second story of Rav Baruch Ber. He was once sitting in a shir, listening to a young Rosh Hashiva, a new Rosh Hashiva, say a shir. And in the middle of the shir, he had to use the bathroom. So now he had a quandary, because he knows that if he gets up in the middle of the shir, so like everybody notices Rav Baruch Ber just left, and like the guy, of course, who's speaking, he's going to know Rav Baruch Ber just left. And, it's going to be, the guy's going to be like, maybe he doesn't like the pshat. Maybe he thinks I'm not saying good svaras. So he left. Like, that guy's going to be nervous. Not only him, but, like, everybody's going to see that Rav Baruch Ber just got up and left this year. It's going to be like a busha for this new Rosh Hashiva, this young man. On the other hand, got to go. Yeah, got to go. So what did he do? He took off his hat, and he put his hat down on the table, and he went, and he came back. And the svar was, everybody knows Rav Baruch Ber is not leaving without his hat. So he's putting his hat there, so, everybody knows he's coming back. Then he goes, he went, and he came back, and he listened to the rest of the shir. So they asked him afterwards, okay, so, like, what's the big deal? Why didn't you just go to the bathroom and then come back? And anyway, we would have known. For that minute that you would have gone, so we wouldn't have known, but then you would have come back, and everybody would know that you were coming back, Like, it wasn't, like, something that people would think that you really left, because you come back. So Baruch Ber said again, the same yisod, even for that 1 minute that this guy giving the shir should suffer that tsar, that he thinks that I don't like what he's saying, or that he thinks that, or that everybody around him should think that I got up and left because I didn't like what he was saying, it wasn't kedai. So I had to think of some itza to straddle the fence. So on the one hand, that people should know I'm not leaving, but on the other hand, to leave. So he put down his hat. So that's in terms of Sur Mira, that he didn't want to do harm to anyone else, he didn't want to insult anyone, he didn't want to cause anyone else any tsar. The Asay Tov, I'm going to wait off on the Asay Tov for a second. I saw there's another story that I once saw. A story about Rabbi Kiva Eger. This I saw in a sefer called Tali Yisrael from Rabbi Yisrael Gantz. Rabbi Yisrael Gantz is the Rav of Mattisdorf, and he also has a shul here in Bayit Vegan. He comes every other week to Bayit Vegan. He's the Rav of a very chashuv shul over here. So Rav Gantz has a sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, and then he has some stuff on Moedim. So in the section about Sfiras HaOmer, so he has the following story of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He said Rabbi Kiva Eger first got married. You know, he was an Eloi from a very young age. Everybody knew before he was like the Gadol Ador. They knew like Rabbi Kiva Eger, even as a Bachar, even as a young Chassan, he was well known around the world, or the world of Torah. So his father-in-law is very excited. His daughter is marrying Rabbi Kiva Eger. Is it a big catch? And the first week that they're married, during Sheva Brachos, Rabbi Kiva Eger stayed at his father-in-law's house, and people were coming from far and wide to speak to Rabbi Kiva Eger and learning, and to hear like all of the genius that they, to see firsthand all the genius that they've been hearing about. And that week, every time somebody comes, you know, they ask Rabbi Kiva Eger shailas, they try and engage him. And he's very passive, he's very quiet, he's very reserved, shy. It's not like all it was cracked up to be. The father-in-law is a little bit embarrassed. You know, everybody heard. He admits such a thing. Okay. Sheva Brachos passes. And Rabbi Kiva Eger goes to his new father-in-law and he asks him, you know, can we stay another week? Dad, you know? And the father-in-law is like, you know, thrilled of another week of this embarrassment that he's been suffering of, you know, the great letdown. And he's invited his son-in-law, what he's going to do. He says, yeah, stay another week. And the second week, people are still streaming in, and all of a sudden, Rabbi Kiva Eger becomes the Rabbi Kiva Eger everybody always heard of, Rabbi Kiva Eger everyone was expecting, and they would come and ask him shailas and kashas, and he would answer them, and he was mamish Rabbi Kiva Eger. And at the end of the second week, so they asked him, you know, my high, you know, what happened between the first week and the second week? So Rabbi Kiva Eger said to them that the first week, there was another chassan and kala in town. And could you imagine what the other chassan and kala would feel like? Or what the other family would feel like if the whole neighborhood is coming here and talking about us? He couldn't bear it. So he said, the first week when they were here, so to speak, we shared the limelight. Now the second week they're gone already, so I answered the questions. But he was so sensitive to the fact there's another chassan and kala in town. He couldn't bear to embarrass them. That's all Sur Meira. I have one story here that I heard from Professor Weiss, which is a big Asay Tov story. And then maybe one last story after that, and then one more part. This story is tremendous. And unfortunately, I don't remember any of the names. There's like three big players over here, and I don't remember who any of them are. But there are two Gedolim and we're speaking to each other after the Holocaust, after World War II. And they're talking about, this is a Shalom Bayis Shmuz. So they pointed out, or one said to the other, you know, when we were younger, it wasn't like things are now. Nowadays, you have a chassan. You know, he has to go to, like, chassan classes for, like, you know, weeks and weeks before he gets married. If only that. And, you know, half of them are talking about shalom bayis and, you know, how to relate to your wife and things like that. And then he gets married and, you know, more shalom bayis shmuzes and, like, you know, like, we didn't have any of that. We know when we get married, you know, in old time Europe, you know, you figure it out. You get married and, you know, you do it. It works. What happened over here? So the other one responded to him, I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you a story about another person, another Gadol. I don't remember who it was. But this Gadol, he lost his whole family in the war. He was married, he had a bunch of children, and they were all killed in the war. And after the war, he got remarried to a younger woman, and this woman didn't have a family before the war. And he told her that the only thing he has left from his previous life, from his first family, is a picture of him and his first wife. That's all he has left of them, nothing else. And he said he can't bear to throw away that picture. He just can't bring himself to do it. So he's putting the picture in the bottom drawer of the dresser, you know, under some clothing. And he said, if you want to throw it away, it's fine with me. I totally understand. I have no problem with that. But I can't bring myself to do it. Okay. So he comes home one day from yeshiva, and he sees in his room that the bottom drawer of the dresser has been pulled open, and the things have been rummaged with on the bottom. It feels like, ah. You know, it was like she couldn't take it. It was too much for her. And as he's having that thought, he looks up at the wall, and he sees that she put the picture in the frame, and she put it on the wall. And he said, back in Europe, when that's what the husband says and that's what the wife does, they don't need a shalom bayis shmos. Nowadays, it's not exactly, you'll see. Doesn't usually work that way. Maybe it does for some people. It doesn't usually work that way. That's an asei tov. That's a tremendous, you know, sensitivity, not only in the, like we said before, in the stories of Baruch Ber, where he was so sensitive, Rabbi Kiva Eger, so sensitive to how other people might feel, especially in situations like Rabbi Kiva Eger's situation, where it's much like a selfish situation. Like, you know, Chassan at his wedding and in Shever Brachos, he thinks the whole world revolves around him. And dafka at that moment, to be so considerate of someone else, that's a big maila. But this maila, I'm not saying it's bigger, but this is a bechina of asei tov, where to go out of your way actively and do something for somebody else under those circumstances is really very, very special. There's another story I heard from Nissen Kaplan. It's not really as heart-wrenching or anything as the other ones, but this is just in terms of, in general, and this is like, you know, all these things, especially by B'nai Torah, you know, they're so, so crucial. You know, we walk around, you know, everybody knows, like, we spend time in yeshiva, everybody knows time, spend serious time learning, and we have in front of us either, you know, people will look and say, Ashrei Aviv Shalim Do Torah, Ashrei Rabbo Shalim Do Torah, or they'll say, like, Oilo La Aviv Shalim Do Torah, Oilo La Rabbo Shalim Do Torah. That's, we're like, we have, it's like, we can't be neutral anymore. You know, when we walk around in the street, there's no option of neutrality. It's either look at that guy, you know, oh, it's so nice, yeshiva bachar, he helps the bring, you know, pick up the stroller or the carriage and put it on the bus. Or like, you know, these from people, they don't care about anybody themselves. Like, he walks by the lady who needs help with the carriage and he doesn't even look back. Everything we do, you know, once we're outside the Beis Medrash, it's a reflection of what goes on inside the Beis Medrash. It's a reflection of who we are. This story is not as nogeya, but I'll mention it anyway. Rav Nissen Kaplan told another story. Also, I don't remember who the players were, but there was a chashuv Rosh Yeshiva who went to one of the gedolim to visit him on one of the shalosh regalim, Kabbalas Panim, Kabbal Pnei Rabbah Baregel, and he took with him what he felt was the top Talmud in the yeshiva, like the biggest masmid, the biggest baki, the biggest charif. Like this guy, he said, this guy's going to be the next Gadol Dor. He was sure of it. And they spoke in learning with the gadol who they went to visit, and they were at the table. So during the conversation, this bachur was like, there was like some salt on the table. So he was like sticking his fingers in the salt and like licking it. You know, he was just like, you know, playing with it. He wasn't really. So at the end of the meeting, the gadol turned to the Rosh Yeshiva, probably not in front of the guy, and he said to him, "This guy is not going to turn out to be what you think he is." He's like, "Yeah, but he's this, and he's that, and he knows this, and he could say." He's like, "It's not. That's not what makes an Adam Gadol." And this is something I've heard a number of different times from different people, that it's very important to have yedius, it's very important to be a lamdan, it's very important to be a Talmud Chacham, meaning to know a lot, but a Talmud Chacham alone does not make an Adam Gadol. A person doesn't become an Adam Gadol by knowing a lot of things. A person becomes an Adam Gadol by changing who he is. That the Torah has to penetrate ad kedei kach, that everything that goes around, everything that I do and everything that I interact with around me, it becomes part of a thought process. I don't do things without thinking. An Adam Gadol is a person who is totally aware. And it's very interesting, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, this will end off, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that bothered me for a while until I saw this in Siva Shalom this year. The Gemara says, The Gemara says, "Shekol zman sheyasu Yisrael k'seder yud gimel midos miyad ne'anim." that the Gemara says that if a person says the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, so immediately, you know, he davened to Hashem, he needs this thing, he says the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, immediately he's going to be answered. So I'm Sephardic, believe it or not. And, you know, we say Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim like a lot, you know, like every day we say it, and during Tachanun, and like on Mondays and Thursdays we say it like 80 times. You know, we're all over that. And there's a lot of things that we daven for that are not answered. They're not miyad nanim. It doesn't happen. So the Nesivos HaOlam says, what's pshat in the Gemara? You have to be medayik in the words. Shekol zman sheya'asu Yisrael keseder yod gimel midos rachamim. You have to do the yod gimel midos rachamim. So the Nesivos HaOlam says, it doesn't mean, like the Gemara says, yis'atef betaliso, you just put on the talis and like Hashem Hashem. That's not the way it works. Yasu yod gimel midos, like Chazal say, there's a mitzvah v'alachta bidrachov, mahu afata, mahu rachum afata, mahu chanun afata. Just like Hashem has these Yud Gimel Midos Rachem, so then we have to put those, we have to be oseh those Yud Gimel Midos. We have to do ourselves, we have to be mekayim the mitzvah of Alachta Bidrachav, and to put into action those Yud Gimel Midos Harachemim ourselves. And in that schlus, when a person is able to perfect his Midos Akedei Kach, that he's really mekayim the mitzvah of Alachta Bidrachav, then that's what the Gemara says, he's zocha to miyad nenu.